Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with Catherine Ransom, and she's the author of Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. And boy, just a wonderful book that everyone absolutely must get. And just a group of essays. And Catherine writes an essay each and every week. And you absolutely must buy this book. It's a must. And she's writing. And I guess when she gets to over 100, she'll have another book ready to go, 101. But Catherine Ransom, how are you?
I'm just fine, Frank. And it's so good to be talking with you again today. Fall has arrived in our part of the country, so the leaves are coming down, and it's a beautiful fall day for us.
Yeah, and you know, you were mentioning off air a little bit about preparedness, and I guess fall in the purest sense, autumn in the purest sense, is a changing time. You know, it's a changing time, and the leaves change, and that's maybe the most obvious thing that we point out. And when we're pointing out to children, we do that. But also there's a need to be prepared in everything. And maybe it's a good analogy. The farmers, and where they prepare for harvest and they prepare for winter and they start doing all types of things that deal with preparation. What can you address to that? Maybe continue our conversation that we are having off mic, on mic. What's your thoughts on fall?
Well, I love fall. It's one of my favorite seasons, but it does come with a heap of work. Yesterday we spent, as I think you know and your audience knows, we live on the lake, and we have a pontoon. Well, the time comes when you have to put the pontoon to bed for the winter, and because of the changing depth of the lake due to lack of rain, we needed to do it quickly or we wouldn't be able to turn the motor on to put in the winterizing liquid that keeps it okay so that it'll start next spring. So, but the big challenge for two old ladies, and we're each about 85, is getting this cover on to the pontoon, and we struggle and climb on our stand on our head and pull and tug. And it's we could hire someone to rake the leaves, but I guess we've never figured out who could put the cover on the boat. But it did sort of make me think, Frank, of, you know, we plan ahead as citizens here in the U.S. We plan that we're going to need to check the fuel and the antifreeze in your car. If you live in certain parts of the country, you know that you're going to have to get the rake out and take care of that pile of fluffy stuff that falls down, and it's colorful, but then it dries up. And you need to do lots of things to get ready for the winter. And I thought, do I plan as well for tomorrow or tomorrow or tomorrow, which might be death? Do I plan as thoughtfully? Do I get people to help me to remember to pray, to be kind, to love others? Do I practice that? Or because I'm lived a few years, do I just sort of take it for granted? Well, the leaves are going to fall. Well, tomorrow will come. I don't need to do anything more for anybody. Do you ever face that kind of thoughts in your own head?
Yeah. You're bringing up a great point. And, you know, I was about to ask you, you know, when you brought up the question, how do you prepare for death? But you gave us some examples. You know, I know that when my mom was passing and we lost her, I think about 11 years ago now, we were there. Fortunately, my uncle, who was her brother, and her sister and my brother were all with her when she passed. And I remember at times we were worried that maybe she's going to pass when I'm not there, or she's going to be alone when she passes. And I said to my children, I said, and I have four children, I said, you know, just so you know, because I had such a close relationship and have such a close relationship with my mother, it's not an East of Eden, John Steinbeck, James Dean moment where I have to rush back to make sure I tell her something that I've never told her before. There were no moments like that. I wanted to be there because I wanted to be there as she passed into this next phase of her existence, and wanted to be there. Of course, it was sad because she was leaving us, but in a sense, I prepared my whole life to lose my mother by being there for her. You know, not only physically when she needed something, but to be there spiritually. And you know, I think that's something that you know, you touched on with even Christ when he was about to leave this earth. He wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of. You know, he was preparing in his mind for somebody else. And if you think about it, I think, you know, in my mind, that telling my children that. The other thing, and real quick, not to go off too much on this, but while my mother was dying, I would go to, we had a storage unit, and I was clearing it out, but I would go there and I would mourn, you know, before she passed, and I was kind of getting it out of my system so I could kind of exist in public without constantly breaking down because we were so close. And I remembered telling my children all separately, I said, you might see me being stoic and you might see me at grandma's funeral or wake being, you know, strong and stoic. But just so you know, I go to the storage unit and in my car I'll pull over and I'll mourn, I'll cry, I'll break down, and I'll let it out, and I'll pray, and I'm doing that. I just didn't want my children to think that I was like superhuman, and that, or the other way around, that I was unfeeling. So in a way, that was my preparation for the death of my mother, and preparing my children for my death, or their, you know, God forbid, their mom goes before me. Again, Catherine Ransom is our very special guest. Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. It's the full name of the book. Get this book, please. It is wonderful. Catherine Ransom here with me, Frank McKay. But think about that, Catherine. I mean, is that preparation for my own death? How I prepared my children and what I did to prepare myself for my mother's death?
I think there's two or three connections that are really great as we really think about the future. Number one, I think too often we don't really think about the fact that we're going to die and that is a joyful time for a Christian. But you commented that you went to the storage unit and you were clearing out things. If I really want to go to heaven and I really want, which I really certainly do, and I want the Lord to be pleased, I need to clean some garbage out of my own life. Because he says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, etc. That I need, if I've got some things in here that are angry, or if I have some hatred in my life, or if I have some times when I've forgotten him and I've spent more time focusing on Catherine than on sharing the Lord's love with others, I need to get those thoughts out of my brain. I need to get those actions out of my life and clean the storage cabinet just like you did. The second little point I think you did such a nice job doing, and that is you wanted your children to make sure they knew their grandmother or your mother. You wanted them to know that you had a great relationship with your mom. Is that not what I also need to do with my nieces and my family and my friends? I don't have children, that I need to let them know that I really have a close relationship with the Lord. If I don't, then I need to do something about that. But I want them to love the Lord as much as you want your children to love their grandmother, to respect her. That's part of this preparing. and you can't do it in the last 30 seconds, so to speak, figuratively speaking,
sure,
before she dies, it's got to be sort of a lifetime kind of thing. And the same thing is true with preparing for fall. You have to keep doing it. The leaves keep coming down annually. Hatred fills your heart periodically. We have to be alert and get the rake out.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. Catherine Ransom, once again, is our very special guest. And again, Ransom Notes is the book. Everyone's got to get this book for sure. She is wonderful. Frank McKay here. Binge listen to everything that we've been doing, and you can do that on iHeartRadio.com, Radio.com, SoundCloud.com. You can hear everything we do, RadioUK.com, and just anywhere there are podcasts, over 100 outlets. You can hear us on radio and podcast outlets. But again, Catherine Ransom is the author of Ransom Notes. Frank McKay here with Catherine. The other thing we mentioned off of the air, and it's it kind of follow up to what we were talking about on air last time at the close of our last show, and you mentioned in Matthew that he wrote about Christ and Christ dealing with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, basically Christ was saying, look, you get caught up in minutia. And I'm paraphrasing here, of course, right? You're getting caught up in minutia, and while you're doing that, you're forgetting about big things. You're forgetting about more important issues while you're worried about these small things. Expand on that, if you would, and kind of expand our conversation to what we were talking about last week.
Well, I was reminded of the scripture when Jesus says that you blind guides, you strain at gnats, and you end up swallowing a camel. And I thought of that after an experience I had some time ago in the dentist's office, ready to have an implant. And you know how they tip your chair up and you're standing on your head and they've got all kinds of equipment in your mouth and two people are stuffing their fingers in and they're working away. And, you know, it's deadened, so I'm not in pain. But suddenly I get this extreme need to swallow. And I try to hold it back because I know they're working away, and I don't want to bother them. I want this all to be successful. But I realize I have to swallow. So I took two gulps, and I felt something. I swallowed something. And as I finished swallowing, I looked up at the dentist in his eyes, and I said, what did I just swallow? And this strange fear almost came over his face. And he said, you just swallowed my screwdriver.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, screwdrivers have that little sharp edge on the end. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen to me? It was sort of interesting, and as we finished up the surgery or the replacement of the tooth, he said, now remember, you can call me anytime if you feel suddenly not good in the next few days, because I think he was worried. But, so, you know, life goes on, and I'm taking a trip. I like to travel, and I'm going through the airport. They often ask you, when you're my age, do you have any metal parts? That means that you need to have a special kind of x-ray to see that you're not, you know, sneaking in with knives or guns or whatever. And I said, well, I don't have any new metal parts. But funny that you ask. Very recently, I swallowed a screwdriver. Is there any way? And I chuckled and I smiled. I said, is there any way that your camera could maybe tell if I've still got that screwdriver? And the sweet lady said, well, let's see. So I walked through the x-ray machine, and I come out to the other side, and she says, well, if it's there, we can't find it. So it was really sort of a relief to know that I'm guessing it went down the toilet somewhere.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, what a scary thought that you could swallow. I get that same sensation in the dentist chair. I can't stand going to the dentist. I know it's necessary, but I just don't. I'm a gagger. I gag, and unless they really numb me up, I'm a terrible patient in there. But I can imagine having the sensation to swallow a screwdriver. How big a screwdriver was it?
Well, I don't exactly know, but I think it was probably. I later at a dentist asked if what would be the size of a screwdriver you might be using during that. And I would say it's about 2 inches long, but that's just an estimate. And it's bigger than the handle was fatter. I guess that's a good word to use. Fatter than a pencil would be. So and it was metal, so it was reasonable size. But the more important thing is, I think one thing when I write, Frank, is I try to take things that happen to me, and then make a connection. And I think too often in our Christian life, at least around me, it seems to me that we get so carried away with little things and gnats, like, I wonder what color the carpet should be in the new auditorium of the church. Or they sang that tune a little too slowly, or the volume was up too much. Or why is the minister wearing a green necktie today? It would be much better if he had a dark black one with his suit. Or crazy little things that we worry about instead of, there are people out here that are hungry and our church could be feeding some. Or there are some who have divorced and lonely children. And how are we going to help in our church and with our following of people and Christians? How can we help some of those lonely kids have a temporary dad to sort of help them out? Or what do we need to do about widows that are living alone and are lonely? No relationships. Those, to me, are the issues we should be worried about, rather than should we plant tulips in the yard or would marigolds go better with the bricks of the building? I know those are crazy illustrations, but that's what people sometimes worry about.
Yeah, and even more mundane things than that occupy our minds, even sometimes obsess our minds. And again, while we're worried about that, someone is worried about their depression or psychoses terrible loneliness that comes with so many folks. And here we are worried about, whether we're getting the right tie or the right pair of shoes. Frank McKay here, much more importantly, Catherine Ransom is our very special guest. Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor is the full name of the book. And just wonderful thoughts always coming out of this lady's heart, her mind, and her mouth. And I'm thrilled to have her here. You always get me thinking, Catherine. And you're right. We worry about little things. We worry about the gnats. We worry about that, and not the bigger issue. And again, what's our relationship with our, regardless of what our faith is? What is our relationship with our higher being, whether it's Christ, whether it's God, whether it's the Father, the Spirit, what is our relation there? Relationship there, and quite frankly, so many people go through life not thinking about it. And as you said earlier, in the last 30 seconds, relatively speaking, all of a sudden they're going to start panicking, and did I do this or did I do that? If we start thinking about it earlier, Catherine, maybe that's the big picture. That's what we should be thinking about.
I'd sort of leave a challenge with your audience today to encourage them to think about, because I'm one who likes to take a big idea and then put it into a package that you can actually attack and do and put into your life. Encourage everybody to think about one person for the next 2 weeks that they know that might need some encouragement, some relationship building, some contact, some evidence that somebody cares about them, whether it is a senior citizen in a nursing home where nobody can really get in to see them, so you need to be creative and think of ways to touch that and let them know that the Lord still cares about them. Maybe it's someone in your own home, one of the kids is feeling left out or neglected because they can't be part of the sports program, and how do you know that what they're feeling really depressed on the inside, but they need some special love for you and some connections to the church. Maybe it's someone that you know that's temporarily living in a prison and needs attention and support, because we know we need to love, we all make mistakes. We still need to love those people and help them prepare when they come out to share the love of God as well as share it in there. But they need some encouragement. So find one person in your life that you think needs a friend in addition to the friend, the Lord, and the three of you, you and they and the Lord, have a tea party, figuratively speaking, because we can't get very close together. Think about it. I challenge you.
Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. And again, to think outside of our own selves and to think who is out there, who is in need of someone. And by the way, this is something that that we can freely give. And, whether you're rich, poor, or somewhere in the middle, giving a nice thought to somebody, an outreach to someone, is something that you can do and we can do. And again, it's once again just wonderful words from Catherine Ransom, and again,
you made a good point, Frank, that it doesn't have to be money. It may be that you have a teenage kid who could go over and rake the yard of the next door neighbor who has fallen and unable to do it. In that process, we get a relationship between someone older and somebody young, and your son learns that it is a great feeling to know you helped somebody. It doesn't have to be that you take them out to the best restaurant in town. It may be that you're making pumpkin cake for your family, and you cut out one piece ahead of time and deliver it to across town to somebody who might appreciate a little bit of home cooking. Our love does not have to be expensive, but it does need to be our heart and our time and our smile.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. And just in closing, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but when my children were in high school and junior high school and middle school, I used to ask the question, who did you eat lunch with today? And I'd ask the question every day, and sometimes they'd say the usual, and I'd say, well, who's the usual? Who, tell me. And my daughter would name this long list of people, and every once in a while there would be a new person in there. And I would say to her, are you, that's a pretty good group of people that you have there, a good group of friends. Are you looking around the auditorium or the cafeteria to see if anyone's eating alone? And again, we push this, both my wife and I would push this early on. And as it turns out, she was very, very good at that. So were all of my boys, too. They were very good. But I remember the lunch lady, the lady who worked in the cafeteria, said to me, can I say something? I brought her something, my daughter something she forgot, to the cafeteria. And you have to go through, security, and you can hand it off with the security guard there. And the lady said, I just want to say one thing. These girls, your daughter and the rest of them, are so nice. They make sure that no one is eating alone. They have made this such a nice, and she said, I try to spread that around to the other periods. I think there were three lunch periods, but your daughter and her friends are the nicest kids, and we were very proud of that. We were very proud that they did that and that we made that a priority. But It's just a thought to folks out there who have children of that age, because it could be a very lonely place, a middle school, a high school, a grammar school. Reach out to the kids. You know, have your kids, if they're popular, if they have a good amount of friends, look out for the other kids that are out there. Final thoughts on that, Catherine?
Well, I would just say that it isn't just kids that are lonely.
Yes.
But the great illustration you did, the principle that we need to learn from that is that we need to keep our eyeballs alert for people who are alone, sitting alone in church, sitting alone wherever it might be, never appearing to have guests at their home. Just watch for people of all ages and all economic levels. It isn't just one. Even very rich people suddenly have lost their family, somehow didn't develop some close friends because they were busy working. They can also be lonely. So we need to do exactly what you suggested to your children. You must have been a good dad.
Listen, that's for other people to say. I always say we'll find out how good we did as parents when we see how well they do as parents. But the one thing we do is love our children and try to love everyone else around them and people that need it. Catherine, I want to thank you once again for being here. Just wonderful. And keep writing. And again, I just love hearing your stories, your analogies, and wow, even the discomfort of swallowing a screwdriver could turn into a wonderful story. Screwdriver, wow, my gosh. But thank you very much for being here once again.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it. You have a good week.
And to everyone out there, we know there are a lot of options, but please binge listen to everything that we've done here. Catherine Ransom is the author of Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. To all of you out there, please be safe. God bless. And keep yourself safe and sane during these times. And look out for others who may be in need. Look out for the lonely people. Frank McKay signing off. Catherine Ransom, once again, has been our very special guest. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.